Scripture reading this morning will be Proverbs 16, verses 10 through 15, and then also 1 Peter 2, 11 through 17. So if you're willing and able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Proverbs 16, starting in verse 10. A divine decision is in the lips of the king. His mouth should not err in judgment. A just balance and scales belong to the Lord. All the weights of the bag are his concern. It is an abomination for kings to commit wickedness, for a throne is established on righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and he who speaks right is loved. The wrath of a king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will appease it. In the light of a king's face is life, and his favor is like a cloud with the spring rain. And then also 1 Peter 2, 11 through 17. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, on account of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. You may be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need wisdom. We need you. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that it is full of wisdom. Wisdom from above. Lord, we ask that you would teach us now as we look at it. Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes and our hearts, that we would understand, that we would obey, that we would see more of who you are and what pleases you. Lord, that we would desire to walk in a way that is pleasing to you. Lord, we thank you for your word. I pray that you would protect these people from my error. I pray, Lord, that you would guide and direct every word. May your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of this message this morning is Lead Well. Lead Well. These verses teach us a lot about kings, about those in authority. And even if you don't see yourself as a leader, even if you don't have plans of running for some office, understand that we all need to learn to lead well. You see, maybe you're not a king, but are you a parent? Maybe you're not a parent yet, but are you around other children that are younger than you that look up to you? You see, I would venture to guess that at one point or another in life, we are all leading. We're all leaders. At some point or another, there are those that are looking up to us, that are following us, following our example. So may God bless us this morning as we look at His Word and His instructions in Proverbs. And may we learn to lead well. Now, before we get started, there are some important things that I want to clarify about this passage. This passage, when it uses the word king, it is implied that it is a good king. Okay, there certainly we understand that all kings are not good. There are bad kings. But these verses make it clear that they should be good. Also understand that although we are to honor and submit to the governing authorities, we need to keep our focus on living before God, who is the ultimate King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now I say that, but not to give you a license to sin or rebel against the governing authorities. Not the case at all. But we need wisdom in how to balance this, because all of those in authority over us are not good kings. And so may God give us wisdom as we seek to honor and obey Him in submitting to our authorities, and at the same time know when and what we should do. So the outline is, the title is Lead Well. And the outline, there's 3 points, 2 verses for each point. The first is responsibility. A king has a lot of responsibility. And certainly we won't see all of the responsibility of a king or those in authority, but we will look at what these verses teach us of the responsibility of a king. Secondly is righteousness. Number 2, righteousness. A king must be righteous. He must love what is right. And number 3, power. We will see the power of a king, the power to protect, the power to destroy. A king has power. And as we look at a king in these verses this morning, we can learn a lot from both sides, both leading and following. But as we look at this passage and we consider kings and leaders, look at the big picture. One of the most important lessons that I believe we can learn from this passage is that in order to lead well, we must follow well. Specifically, we must follow Christ. To lead well, we must follow Christ. So number 1, responsibility. Verse 10. A divine decision is in the lips of the king. His mouth should not err in judgment. This verse shows the immense responsibility that a king has to make wise decisions, good judgment. The verse begins, a divine decision is in the lips of the king. If you look up definition of divine, you'll find words like this: godlike, heavenly, excellent in the highest degree, minister of God. You see, a king is a minister of God. Romans 13, 3 and 4 says, for rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. So you see the incredible responsibility that is on a king's shoulders. A king's job is to judge the people correctly, to judge as God would have him judge, to reward the one who does good and punish the one who does bad. This means that a king is to judge not according to his own preferences, but according to God's law. A king is like an earthly representative of God. He is not here to do his own will, but he has a master as well, God. And the king is to obey him and work the master's will. So a king and all those in authority should view themselves as servants of the living God, desiring to judge people correctly in God's eyes. Again, this is such great responsibility. And notice that this verse mentions the lips of the king, his mouth. Again, this shows the responsibility that he has in the words that he speaks. You see, oftentimes we hear someone say something, but if it's the king who says it, or the one in authority will say, "The king said." So those who are in authority must choose their words carefully. Certainly all of us need to, but a king or those in authority all the more. So a king has great responsibility in all the decisions and the words that he speaks. You see, these judgments that a king has and the words that he speaks, they do not just affect his own life, but they affect many lives of those under him. Any and all people who have those who have others under their care must take this responsibility seriously. We must encourage what is good, punish what is evil. And this principle applies in all jurisdictions, whether it's in the workplace, the home, the church, or government. We must take this responsibility seriously. Now, parents and kings do not have exactly all the same responsibilities, but there are similarities in all of them. You know, in studying through this, it reminded me of part of the oath that I read last week as we covenanted together. You remember this part. It said, "We will endeavor to bring up such as may at any time be under our care in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and by a pure and loving example to seek the salvation of our family and friends." You see, leaders of all kind have a responsibility. We need to take it seriously. And if we take this responsibility seriously, by God's grace, we will lead well. A divine decision is in the lips of the king. His mouth should not err in judgment. Now, continuing with responsibility, verse 11 says, "A just balance and scales belong to the Lord. All the weights of the bag are his concern." This verse shows that it is important to God that we conduct business honestly and fairly with our fellow man. We see here the balance of scales and the weights of the bag. Now, these were commonly used in trading, in buying and selling. And so if you're going to buy something by the pound, it's very important that the scale is accurate. And this is one way that people would commit fraud, that people would rip others off by using weights that were not accurate in order to cheat other people. You see, this would be like, even today we still use this. If you go to the grocery store and you see bananas for 99 cents a pound, and it's a great price if you like bananas. So you go and you get a cart full of bananas and you get up there. Well, if the scale had been rigged at the register so that 1 pound actually showed up as 1.5 pounds, then you're paying way too much. But this is what we are taught here is wrong. And a king and those in authority need to be in guard against this, protecting the people. All the weights of the bag are his concern. You see, it's important to God for people to treat each other fairly and appropriately. and all good leaders must be concerned for those under their care, that they are conducting their businesses honestly and fairly, that they're not involved in dishonest gain, tricking people out of their money. You know, in our house, the boys, they like to buy and sell and trade stuff with each other. And that's great. But we have this rule in our house that a deal isn't a deal until I approve it. Because I don't want the younger brother to pay all this money for something that isn't worth anything. You see, we have to be concerned. We want the boys to treat each other right as they conduct their businesses. So it's very important. A king or anyone in authority must be concerned with how people are treating each other in business, whether it's on big scale or a small scale. And we must disapprove and condemn those who are not using just weights and measures. So in these first two verses we've looked at, we've seen just a little bit of the great responsibility of leaders. If you're going to lead well, then you must take your responsibility seriously. You must promote what is right. You must condemn what is wrong. So number two, righteousness. Verse 12. It is an abomination for kings to commit wickedness, for a throne is established on righteousness. Certainly, we know that it's important for all of us to live righteously. But here we see that of all people, leaders must live righteously. It's to no surprise that God hates it when men commit wickedness. But he especially hates it when those in authority commit wickedness. And we see why in the second half of the verse. For a throne is established on righteousness. You see, for a king to commit wickedness, it contradicts the very core of the purpose of their position. Remember that they are to praise those who do good and punish those who do evil. They are to be a minister of God, upholding and ruling to God's standard. So it is absolutely terrible when a king commits wickedness. When the one who is supposed to be upholding the law is the one breaking the law. God hates it. It not only sets a bad example for the people, but it serves to destroy the order that comes with righteous ruling. So leaders must live holy lives. They must be righteous. They must live by the same standards with which they call the people under them to live by. And if they do commit wickedness, God hates it, and it will harm those under their care. A throne is established on righteousness. Verse 13, righteous lips are the delight of kings, and he who speaks right is loved. So not only are kings to live righteously, but they are to love righteousness. All good leaders love what is true. They greatly appreciate the honesty in those around them. An earlier verse showed us the effects of a king speaking correctly to the people. And so here we see the effects of the people speaking correctly to the king. And we see that the king is delighted to hear righteous words. He loves those who speak what is right. You see, many people make the mistake when it comes to those in authority. They make this mistake of trying to speak the words to the king that they think the king wants to hear. But we see here that a good king is not impressed with that. A good king wants to hear the truth. He wants to hear what is right. So if we are going to lead well, we must love righteousness. We must live righteously, and we must take great pleasure in those who speak righteous words. A throne is established on righteousness. Number three, power. A king has great power. Verse 14. The wrath of a king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will appease it. Here we see the power of the king. You see, God has given the state the power to punish those who do evil, even to the point of killing them when necessary. But the point of this verse is not so much for the king as it is for the people. You see, we are here taught to be mindful and respectful of the authority above us. We need to understand that the state does have the God-given authority to take our life. And so we need to be wise in making our appeal. You see, we should not make our appeal lightly, as if they can do nothing to us. The king has the power. He has the authority to sentence us to death. So we need to be wise. We need to be discerning in bringing our appeal before the authorities. So the king has great power to bring us harm. But don't misunderstand. This is a great blessing. This isn't a bad thing, because it gives us the righteous fear of doing what is evil. And because of this power that the king has, we must be careful to live wisely and to appeal wisely. Verse 15 says, "In the light of a king's face is life, and his favor is like a cloud with the spring rain." This verse really teaches us the same thing as verse 14 did, except instead of the focus being on the power of wrath that a king has, the focus is on the power that a king has to bless us. In the light of a king's face is life. And so, as terrifying as it is to be before a king that has the power to condemn us to death, it is an amazing thing to also consider the power that the king has to preserve your life, to bless you so that you can live in peace and prosper. This verse compares a king's favor to a cloud with the spring rain. Now we can recognize that the spring rain is a blessing. And so also the king's favor is a blessing. But not only is the spring rain a great blessing, but it is a blessing that is out of our reach. It's out of our control. You see, it's not like a good thing that we can just go to the store and buy when we need it. But it's not in our hands. It can't be taken. It can only be given. So also is the king's favor. If the king finds favor with you, because of his power and position, he can bless you in ways that no one else can. You might think of how Pharaoh blessed Joseph, set him over all the land of Egypt. No one could have blessed Joseph like Pharaoh did. Certainly, we recognize God is at work in all of that. But the king can bless like no one else. And this is an extreme example, and yet a king can bless in many ways, many smaller ways. But the point is that the king has the power to bless those that he finds favor with. So a king has great power both to hurt and to bless. And so we are taught to appeal wisely, to seek their favor, and not their wrath. Do what is right, and you will receive praise. So in conclusion, we see that a king and all those in authority have great responsibility as a minister of God to judge correctly, to judge between good and evil, to protect the people from unlawful weights and measures. We've also seen how a king is to live righteously, to delight in righteousness, delight in those who speak righteousness. And lastly, we've seen the power of a king, both his wrath and in showing his favor. And in all of these things, I hope as we've gone through here that you could see the consistency throughout. You see, each of these aspects of a king are consistent with the next. It's easy for us to see plainly how much a king needs to seek the Lord every day. How can he judge rightly if he doesn't know what is right and wrong? How can he be a minister of God if he doesn't know God and God's ways and God's statutes? And so as we consider for ourselves, how can we lead well in our own lives? We must come to the same conclusion. We cannot lead well apart from Christ. We need Christ. We need to be in the Word. We need to be feeding on it daily. We need to be men and women and children of prayer, constantly in communion with the Lord, asking Him for what we are lacking. James 1:5, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So in whatever capacity we find ourselves in, and again, it isn't always that you're an office that you have run for or a job that you have applied for. But you will find yourself leading when you weren't looking to be a leader. And so be ready to lead well. And be ready by being wise, by following Christ well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to honor you in whatever position you put us in. Lord, when you put us in positions to lead, we pray that we would lead well. We ask, Lord, for your help, because we know that apart from you, we can't. We won't. Lord, we pray for all those under our authority at different times. We pray for all of those who are younger, who look up to us. Lord, those that we don't even recognize think highly of us. Lord, we pray that you would help us to lead well, that we would take this responsibility seriously, that we would care greatly for all those under our care. And Lord, we thank you for being the perfect example, that you are the perfect king, that you lead perfectly. And Lord, we pray that we would never forget how dependent we are on you and how important it is that we follow you well. In Jesus' name, amen.